I'm Scott Hansen with NFL Red Zone, and you are listening to the Gridiron Gentlemen.
Hello, and welcome back to the Gridiron Gentlemen podcast. We are here to talk, well, some serious off-season fodder today, but that's what we'll be doing. We're going to talk about the trends we think we're going to see carried over from the 2025 season, and also what we've seen from what teams have done so far in the off-season, and how they're going to affect the 2026 season upcoming. To do this, we have some classic gent action. We have James. How's it going?
Classic. I'm fine until I was described as a classic gin.
I think you've got the coin through the post at some point, so you know, I think you're definitely.
Do I get my 15 year service badge?
Nearly, unfortunately, I fucking nearly do get that, but I'd rather not. I don't get any like Littlewoods vouchers or anything though, so that's annoying.
Where's my fucking money?
Sorry, it's tied up somewhere.
Sorry, I'm sure. Joke. Lol.
We've got a man who described himself as a little one, only in relation to the rest of his basketball team, I think. And that's Phil. How you doing, mate?
Very good, thank you, Daniel. How are you?
I'm not too bad. Not too bad at all.
This is my thing. I often have to say this to people: is my perception of the world is warped. I've been playing basketball my entire life. I think I'm normal.
You are a big man.
I think I'm of normal size. The rest of you are like normal people are just really small. I'm normal. Like giant people are like giant, you know, like 6'9" and up. Are big people. Yeah, I'm average.
I had someone walk into where I worked the other day and he had to fully duck down to get under the door.
Yeah, see, that's where I judge height to be. You actually have to duck under the door. That's a tall person.
I could see him everywhere he went in the shop because he was taller than everything else. So, anyway.
Indeed.
And if any news we want to discuss, I don't really want to discuss what's going on with Mike Vrabel's pants and Dan.
I did like, so the NBA, the inside NBA guys do like after a team gets eliminated, yeah, from the playoffs, they do like a gone fishing photo, and it tends to be themed around the city.
Yeah.
Now Boston got eliminated from the playoffs.
Shame.
And there's always a boat.
Yeah.
I know. I hate the Celtics. and of course, on the front of the boat, what did they have?
Oh no!
They had Vrabel and Diana Rossini doing the Titanic Jack and Rose bit.
I mean, that is quite funny. It feels like, all I'll say is, I'll say one thing. Feels like every week my take of there is absolutely nothing to this, it gets more and more ridiculous.
It's like,
it's got legs.
I'm enjoying the fact that she may or may not have named a child after its actual father.
That's
or her brother, who's also called Mike.
Oh my god.
And the fact that potentially insider information that they traded may have impacted the 2019 draft.
It's bonkers to me. Like, she lost her job. I'm moving over to the idea that maybe he should do.
Maybe.
Like, I mean, or if everything was fair, then absolutely. But
yes.
He's potentially given away information he absolutely shouldn't have given away. But there we go.
The things you say.
He's going to stand there and he's going to stand there in camp and go, we deal with honesty, we deal in integrity, we deal in straight up, face to face, proper, by the book, honesty in this organization.
Yeah.
And everybody in that room is going to laugh in his face.
Especially when he has to go on Pat McAfee or Barstool Sports or something like halfway through a grueling training camp when he's tired. Yeah, that'll go down well.
Yes.
There's already rumours that Mike Tomlin's in line to take over. But, I mean, I can't see it. I think it'll fine. I think it will. I think it'll blow over. He'll be absolutely fine. She will probably never work in the NFL again, unfortunately.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Maybe that's a trend. Maybe at some point we're going to find out that Mike McDaniel has been having an affair with Robert Mays for the last 15 years. I don't know.
Yeah, maybe we'll find that out. Just
probably not.
Possibly, yeah. I've got to take timestamps today. I'm just going to openly tell everyone what I'm doing. I'm going to take timestamps today. I've just realised this.
You've timestamped that, haven't you?
We might be using these for potential like video clips.
So. Oh, for God's sake, we're going to get sued.
fuck it.
Specifically, won't be that brave.
Come after me, bro. It's all me. It's nothing to do with Mike McDaniel. Come for me.
No,
I'm less worried about Mike McDaniel. If I'm honest,
I'm not worried about Mike McDaniel. To be honest,
Mike McDaniel, I could use as a toothpick. Mike Vrabel is.
I'm not tall, but I'm quite broad, and if
he is not,
I get a head of steam. I can be quite scary. So, like, I'm fine with fine against Mike McDaniel and Robert Mays.
Yeah, I think there you're safe.
This mythical relationship that we just made up.
He could probably fish that David Hellman as well, but yeah.
Anyway, next. Any actual news we want to talk about?
Juwan Jennings going to the Vikings to do the same thing he did at the 49ers.
Has to be a Vikings receiver because his name starts with J.
He's going to block at the point of attack so they can run the ball.
Yeah.
The schedule announcement date has been announced. So there's been an announcement about an announcement being announced today.
It is crazy that there is an announcement. I can't wait till we start getting next year. Next year, I think it'll be when we start getting team videos of announcements for the announcements. The best thing about
the Rams will do the best one.
There's the Chargers usually, isn't it?
The Chargers are normally world class.
Yeah, and the Titans obviously nailed it for a while with their getting people to explain which team it is. That was quite funny. Which has now been like taken on several times.
Yeah, everybody does it now.
Regardless, like that is the best thing about we know who's playing who.
The Seahawks last year did. The Action Man advert style one, didn't they?
Yeah.
Which was just excellent.
Yeah.
Really rather good.
They the Bears used the guy from New Girl for some reason. I can't remember. Anyway, they were trying to find the players for something. I can't remember much about it. Year before they just did the Bear. Just do that. That makes way more sense. That last year, and then there was a bit where God, what's his name? Johnson. It was a whole thing about Jake Johnson. There was a whole thing about how he was related to Jalen Johnson. He's seen him there somewhere. And it was like, okay, but you could have done a whole bit about how he's related to Jalen Johnson and also the head coach, Ben Johnson as well. Why was that not like a whole thing? I would imagine they'll do like the Wiener Circle this year because that was a big thing for the Bears last year. But it's a place where you buy wieners. It's not.
Whatever you say,
Dan. Yeah. But that is, the Chargers always knock it out of the park with something utterly ridiculous. So the best social media team, like of any sports team, I think, potentially.
I assume that the announcement is purely for them. To tell them how much longer they've got.
Yes.
So, yeah.
Strong rumours that the opening game of the season will be Bears-Seahawks.
Mm-hmm.
Which...
Nice.
Seahawks versus one of the more entertaining teams in the league last year, I think is the way they look at it. So, yeah. Won't be this year. It's going to be tire fire this year, but whatever. It's...
Fine.
No. I know what he's doing. He's lowering his expectations so he doesn't get hurt.
I can't do that again. I can't. Okay. I just accept that they're going to be bad again this year. That's how it works. Normal service will resume.
Nah, it's all right. We're going back to back.
There you go. I do love that. The confidence.
Yeah, because everybody does that.
Yeah. It's quite common.
Everybody thinks that, yeah. No one ever does it.
Okay, so preview for the 2026 season. Trends we expect, things we expect to see. Anything anyone wants to kick off with?
Speaking of my Super Bowl winning Seahawks,
yeah,
is there a chance we see other teams trying to mimic the super effective Seahawks style defense, where you have as many long armed athletes as possible covering the field like a wolf pack? It's a very sort of specific style of just like, we're going to send as many bodies as possible at the ball at once and just sort of hunt people down across the field constantly, which you don't see a lot of other teams. Not a team may have, didn't really do that, and it was so effective for the Seahawks. Do we think other teams will try to copy that?
They're trying to copy it in as much as they're trying to copy the thing that facilitated the Seahawks being able to do that, which is to have two really, really good defensive tackles that also give you a lot of pass rush upside. Because when you have really good defensive tackles that are good in both phases of the game and you have two of them, you can kind of get away with having a bunch of number two edge rushers in rotation.
Mm.
And I think there are teams that are actively trying to mimic that. I'm not looking at anybody in particular. Cincinnati. Sorry. Dallas. Sorry.
It's weird. I mean, Dallas, it feels like Dallas could really do with a really good, like, elite level edge rusher.
Mm.
Who could also, you know, sort of quarterback that defense and, you know, get it all sort of organized in a good way. I feel like they're missing that somehow.
We're a year on, and I'm kind of okay with that trade now for the Cowboys. I'll level with you. I'm kind of okay with how it's worked out for the Cowboys. I agree. So, like, even down to the fact that they managed to pick up the best safety in the draft as well.
Mm.
Like, mm-hmm. that involves some foresight. Quinn and Williams is one of the better interior defensive linemen in the league. They've still got Kenny Clark, picked up Jonathan Bullard as well. Rashawn Gary's something.
Mm.
Like, these, apart from Quinn and Williams, these aren't like the household names.
Mm.
But then that, nor did the Seahawks have that either.
Yeah, that was very much the thing. It's not like we had any like big superstars. We had a couple of like really, really good guys, but they weren't superstar level guys. And then they were just surrounded by so many talented guys.
Yeah.
And we had, like, even coming off the bench, we had more talented guys. You know, we've lost a few of those, you know, but we then drafted a bunch of more secondary in the draft to basically cover for that loss. And that's kind of what we did really well, was we just had, like, it felt like we had like 8 or 9 guys back in the secondary, and you could just rotate through them all constantly, and it felt like they just never got tired, and they kept, just like I say, like a wolf pack, they just kept hunting and hunting until they got to, you know, either the quarterback or whoever was unfortunate enough to have the ball.
You just didn't have to come out your sub package. There weren't teams that could make you force you to come out your sub. Because you had a safety that was good enough to sub in at linebacker, basically. So you could just move him up. And so,
yeah.
Like, I'd imagine there are teams that are definitely looking at that. The Eagles are another team.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you look at the way they approach the draft and free agency, Reek Willen, obviously, is a solid start. But also Jonathan Grenard, like, during the draft, they picked him up. Like, it's little things. Like, they didn't pick up any defensive linemen until the 7th round in the draft. Sorry, not defensive linemen. Edge rushers till the 7th round, in which, when they spent 2 7th round picks, Keyshawn James Newby, and this is the one that interests me, the absolute physical freak, which is U.R. Bernard.
Yes.
U.R. Bernard. With what, the 80-inch wingspan?
It's just physical.
It's 90.
Monster.
90. Crazy.
Yeah. 90-inch wingspan.
physically, the only person they could find to compare him to was Myles Garrett. Like, he's been practicing against a tree for a good chunk of his life, but he is like, he is a physical freak. Yeah,
he's just like a physically just insane human being. He's never actually, he's never played football, is that right?
I think he has played. Not much, though.
Yeah, he's like a,
6'5", 306
Jesus Christ. And I've seen the pictures of him with like a shirt off. It's not like there's any body fat or anything else there. The man is just a brick wall.
It's 250 pounds 250 pounds of lean muscle mass.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's quite terrifying.
And for some reason we let him go to the Eagles. Like the world let him go to the Eagles with Vic Fangio. But like I think that there are, as you say, I think there are teams that are absolutely trying to replicate what the Seahawks managed to do last year. And it does kind of say that maybe like it's an outdated model to rely heavily on one pass rusher. Maybe it's not. I mean, the Rams have been kind of doing this for a little while as well.
Yes.
With how they do it.
The whole sort of strength in numbers type defense as opposed to rely on big name talent.
Yeah. And the Giants.
But it is that model. It's the Jordan Davis and Jalen Carr in the middle.
Yeah.
And then your third defensive tackle is Byron Young.
Yeah.
Which is a good rotation, really good rotation. So when you've got edge rushers that are basically Jonathan Grenard, Nolan Smith, Joe Tryon, Shoyinka, you know, Moro Ajomo, that's fine. Because what you're going to do is you're going to find that those guys are one-on-one at some point, and they are, while they're not top-tier edge rushers, they're guys that can get you 7-8 sacks.
Yeah.
And if you've got two or three of those guys, that adds up,
It does.
Yeah.
And maybe we should be a little less concerned about teams not going all out to get an out-and-out edge rusher as well. Like,
especially when you've got Zach Bourne and Jihad Campbell, who are basically linebackers who do have a kind of a degree in blitzing.
And then you've got teams like the Ravens who've done the opposite. They picked up Trey Hendrickson, obviously, as well. But the problem with the Ravens is they need to come out the blocks firing this year. So they can't completely dig up their entire defensive roster to make any changes. Broncos, to a certain extent as well, I think, are probably a team that people will be trying to emulate, especially on defense. With some similarities in the sense that it's not like these aren't household names on the Broncos defense outside of like the obvious ones. But they are a force to be reckoned with.
There are guys who are not named players, but are the absolute engine of what occurs. And so it's like the Zach Allens of this world. And it's the Jonathan Coopers, the Nick Benitos. It's Riley Moss, who was one of the most targeted corners in the NFL the last 2 years in a row. And one of the best number two corners, in spite of that, in the NFL. So it's stuff like that. And obviously having Pat Surtain, who just erased half the field for you. It's so, but that defense is different, because if you were to think about how many actual blue chip players there are on that defense, there's probably really only one.
Yeah.
And the rest are all pretty good players cast in the correct roles.
Playing for the best of their ability.
Definitely.
That makes absolute sense. So I think there are teams that are maybe not schematically going to be following what the Seahawks did last year. Although I think that's also possible. Having said that about the Ravens, they do have Mike McDonald's protege in there now, in Jesse Minter. Yeah. So like, I'd imagine there are going to be definitely some similarities there. And it does seem to be that Mike McDonald is now kind of spreading forth like teams that his coaches that kind of are learning from him. So absolutely, I think that's a good shout.
I mean, I really like the Ravens defense, but the other worrying trend is an example that is shown by the Ravens offense.
Yeah.
Which is where teams that have an blue chip elite quarterback, they sit on their hands in terms of support for them in the passing game.
Yeah.
So the Ravens have sat on their hands this year. So the starting wide receivers for the Ravens this year are going to be Rashad Bateman again. Devontae Walker. Yeah. And Zay Flowers.
Zay Flowers
is an okay player, but Zay Flowers is not going to... It's not JSN.
I was going to say, I don't see a number one receiver out of those three. They're all number two or number three.
It's not like it's coming from the tight ends either.
And they've allowed Charlola and Isaiah Likely to walk.
Yeah.
And Mark Andrews is not healthy, generally.
What confuses me most about that is you bring in Declan Doyle as your offensive coordinator, like first-time play caller, who has historically just been in a room with Ben Johnson and before that Sean Payton. Okay. Ben Johnson was very quick to utilize tight ends for what he wanted to do because he wanted to help get the run game going. And it all stemmed from the run game. Mm. You've got Derrick Henry and Justice Hill. Derrick Henry is still a very talented running back. And they've gone some of the way to improve the offensive line. But I think the tight ends were pretty integral to what happened with the Chicago Bears, especially on the ground last year.
Mm.
And then to improve your receiving core, you've gone for, I like Jacoby Lane personally, and I think I'm in a minority there, but I understand he's also a project. He's not someone you're expecting to get 1,500 yards this year. He's someone that's going to make some spectacular catches in occasional game time situations. And I don't think Surratt's the answer either. So you are relying once again on a weakened tight end group and Zay Flowers to do an awful lot of work.
In fact, that offense is actually, when I look at it, it's scary now. It's actually quite fragile. So you've got Ronnie Stanley, but Ronnie Stanley is entering season 11.
Yeah.
Not quite the same guy. You're starting Vega Oane at left guard. Corey Bullock is now your center because you let Lindebaum go. John Simpson is going to be your right guard. So when you're hiring guards from the Jets, double-edged sword.
Yeah.
Roger Rosengarten's your right tackle. And then at running back, it's Derrick Henry, who, with the best one in the world, is objectively less of a player than he was in 2024.
Already.
Also, you know, there's no Patrick Ricard either. You've got Scott Lucas at fullback.
Yeah.
All of the things, plus you've lost Todd Monken.
Yeah.
I'm very worried about the Ravens offense in general. I'm just, in the same way that I am worried a little bit about the Commanders offense in very much the same way, because they seem to have had very much the same approach. They're almost identical in their sort of approach to offense.
Yeah.
They have a quarterback who, I mean, Jaden Daniels isn't in the same tier as Lamar, and he's still very early in his career. But
there are enough similarities.
Because if you look at their wide receiver room, it's Terry McLaurin, who was an old rookie to start with, and is an old player now. And then you actually look at their receiver depth chart, and let me get it up, because...
Antonio Williams, Luke McCaffrey, Treylon Burks, Diami Brown, Van Jefferson. There's a lot of names on there that are questionable.
Antonio Williams is starting for them.
Mm.
And he wasn't even, you know, he never had a 1,000-yard season at Clemson in 4 years. He only had 2,000 receiving yards in four full seasons. So he's a good prospect, a second round pick. He's not like highly productive or anything like that. It's just there's some upside there, and he's already starting. So that's where we are.
There is a concern that they're going to, they'll do similar to what Baltimore kind of do a lot of time, which is they're over-reliant on Jaden Daniels' escapability to bail them out.
Yeah.
You know, his athletics, he is an incredible athlete. He can get you out of trouble and use those legs to get himself down the field and cause problems for the other team. He's not quite at Lamar's level, but nobody really is.
Yeah.
But there is a concern there, at least for me, that is what they'll do, is they'll over-rely on that.
I'm also not convinced that the offensive line at all. I mean, Josh Connolly was okay as a rookie, and hopefully he continues with that, but he's still a second-year tackle.
Not that Washington have a history with athletic quarterbacks and overusing their athletic abilities. And it going poorly.
Daniels has already missed a fair amount of time in his two seasons.
Mm-hmm.
And the supporting cast, we talk about the wide receivers, we also talk about the tight ends. Chigo Okonkwo is their tight end one now.
I was gonna bring up tight ends because that links on something else I was gonna talk about. But yeah. Go for it.
Mm. And then you're looking at running back, you've got Drakowski Merritt, and that's great and everything, but he is not a bell cow. He's not going to be a guy who gives you an awful lot of explosives either. And then you've got Rashad White, which is, you know, it's okay.
He isn't.
It might be okay, but it feels a bit. But it's not.
Yes.
Yeah. What I was going to say about tight ends is.
It's not. Yeah. The great thing about Brian Robinson was times. Yeah.
The smart teams, in terms of tight ends, they are hoarding them. They are hoarding tight ends.
They watched what the Rams did with that sort of three tight end system, and it's just like
Rams lined up in 13 personnel 30% of their time of the time. The next highest was the Steelers at 14.
Yeah, but that's just because the Steelers didn't have any wide receivers.
So you look
they had DK Metcalf, and that was it.
This is what I was going to say. So you look at the top five teams that are lining up in 13 personnel last year. Rams, very deliberate with what they were doing, but also understood that they lacked depth below Devontae Adams on their depth chart.
Yeah, yeah. You had Puka, you had Devontae, and that was kind of it.
Steelers had an interesting dynamic with their tight ends. So, like, had a giant tight end, and then had a couple of other pieces they could move around a bit as well. So they could piecemeal together an offense based around that. Arizona Cardinals, they were the only ones catching balls. They're at 10.5.
I was going to say,
yeah,
a team with no wide receivers.
Indianapolis Colts. I think once again it was a throw the kitchen sink at it kind of thing last year, and it worked. So
it did,
Daniel Jones, when he was on the field, was pretty solid. Probably not $40 million a year solid, but whatever. And then number five was the Chicago Bears, who have heavily invested in tight ends over the last couple of years. Who I think look at the Rams and what they've done with tight ends and think that's actually really, really smart. Rams threw, on top of which, in 13 personnel, the Rams threw 70% of the time when they're in 13 personnel.
So, I feel like, Ben Johnson strikes me as a sort of, obviously he doesn't use the exact same system as Sean McVay, but they are similar in the way they're wired, in that they're offensive psychopaths. And they will take stuff from other coaches and look at what other coaches are doing and be like, I like that. I'm going to steal a bit of that.
So the Bears picked up Sam Roush in the draft this year. Rightly or wrongly, they obviously wanted a tight end, and tight ends are being hoarded by some of the good teams now. And the Rams, well, they picked up their tight end number four in Max Clair. So that means their tight end room, before you look at anyone else potentially making the team, Colby Parkinson, Tyler Higbee, Terrence Ferguson, and then Max Clair. They are stockpiling tight ends on the Rams. And you know what? It kind of works. One of my favorite things they would do is like run like high lows with tight ends. And like you would see just linebackers and safeties shit themselves as to what they were supposed to do in that situation when the guy that was twice their size ran towards them.
And wait, am I covering him? Yeah. Oh, something horrible has gone wrong here.
Can you name me a defense that has three good linebackers?
Doesn't exist anymore. Like, there might...
Doesn't exist, and that's why everyone wants to get into 13. Yeah. That's why everyone wants to get into 13.
I can name a couple that get it close. And there are teams that are in the know. So the Bears get close.
Mm.
Like, not good, but three tight ends that you feel pretty comfortable if they're on the field in TJ Edwards, Devin Bush, and DeMarco Jackson or Jack Sanborn, who they got back off the Cowboys. Like, they could line up with linebackers, sorry.
But that's
still going to get destroyed.
Big nickel.
Yeah.
Big nickels are also trendy because a big nickel like Kyle Hamilton is basically a weak side linebacker.
Yeah.
In a safety's body.
And it goes back to the Seahawks as well with Emenwari as well.
Yeah, it's the same reasoning behind it.
So I think good teams are looking at what the Rams did last year and thinking that's not a bad idea. Washington are kind of looking at the sky while everyone else is doing their own thing. Like Vegas hoarding now, and admittedly not their best season last year, Brock Bowers and Mike Mayer, and now pick up Ian Thomas as well. As well, that looking smart now, especially with a rookie quarterback.
That's right. They're going to play Kirk Cousins.
I don't even think Kirk Cousins takes the field. I think it's a smokescreen. I think they fall in love with Mendoza too much.
I mean, I can't tell them apart anyway. It'd be fine.
The only team that teams like that might struggle against, of course, is the Houston Texans, who go out there with the express idea that they're going to try and murder you on the field. So it's a bit different.
Yeah, they don't care.
They're terrifying. They are. I would never want to play them.
Were there any witnesses? 186 million witnesses to the murder.
Yes. Yeah. They're all so violent.
So mean.
Yeah. So mean.
Basically, yes.
And I think the league.
So, yeah, and I think.
Yeah, sorry, go on.
Yeah, and I think that underinvestment in skills position players, you can even level that still at Buffalo because they've acquired DJ Moore, but.
Yes.
That's not really going to move the needle.
It's not the needle mover I think they think it is.
It's all right. They've got Keon Coleman. They're really big fans of his, aren't they?
They're not even sure he's still on the team.
He's not listed on their depth chart as a starter anymore.
No.
They don't like him. They clearly don't like him.
On paper, the Dawson Knox, Dalton Kincaid pairing seems good. It just hasn't worked.
No.
For a variety of reasons. So DJ Moore coming in doesn't make those two any better. It does push them down the depth chart. It gives them a number one receiver, but I'll be honest, DJ Moore should be looked at as like the best number two receiver in the league.
Mm.
But, I mean, they're better. I don't think they're much better, though.
Mm.
But...
Me neither.
And I'm not being funny, but the head coach... is the guy who was in charge of the offense last year, which was fine.
Mm.
But it was just fine.
Should be just absolutely annihilating with who their quarterback is.
Mm.
And who their running back is as well. James Cook's no slouch.
He's so good.
Mm. So yeah, I agree. I think Buffalo are in a bit of a weird situation where they can't really afford to do much.
Mm.
And they can't really figure out how to do it. So,
I was going to level the same accusation at the Chiefs. But what the Chiefs very importantly did was they they traded for a running back that gives them some explosiveness in the running game.
Yeah.
And if they have that, then I would trust Pat Mahomes to piece it together with anybody. Although, the trend for them is to stockpile tight ends that they can't really get very much out of.
Yeah, and we saw that. So they ran 13. I'm looking at it now. How often did they actually run it? Like 6% of the time. Whereas in previous years, I bet if I look at previous years, hang on, let me have a look. That I would bet money that if I look at it in previous years, it will be very different. Where am I looking now? Sorry, this is great radio. Third, like in 2024, because the goal was to disguise where Travis Kelce was.
Fourth, a bunch of guys were about the same sort of height and width as Travis Kelce. Get them all to run in different directions and see if you can work out which one is Travis.
Yeah.
Travis is the one that's open.
2022 to 2024, they ran it between... it was the third for running it and fourth for running it in all three of those years. And then last year, they dropped down to 10th because they couldn't keep people on the field, basically. And I think they tried doing something different. I think they were desperate to stretch the field. And it just didn't really work out as planned. I have no qualms in believing that the Chiefs will be back to their normal selves, though.
Yeah, you could.
There is the other trend that when we talk about the Chiefs, it's a trend that the Broncos almost got hooked on, and it's a trend that the Chiefs are very hooked on, and I'm really, really concerned that the Colts are going that way too.
Yeah,
which is to over-promote and overvalue fast guys who aren't very good at changing direction or tracking the ball.
Yeah.
Just a brief aside.
Skinny because
I think about... They're 170 pounds. They can run a 4.3, but they can't track a football over their shoulder.
Yeah. Skinny guy, go fast.
I'd much
and rather then when they do catch the ball...
Yeah,
they can't break a tackle.
I'd much rather have someone that catches the ball within short yardage, but they catch the ball.
And also then goes through a couple of people would be nice.
Yeah, I think that the Colts made a massive misstep in letting Michael Pittman go because he was the connective tissue with Tyler Warren to that passing game. And Alec Pierce was more of a really highly productive and ancillary piece. Just happen to play where the X normally lives rather than being an X receiver.
Worth noting, I thought the Colts were going to be the worst team in the league last year.
Yeah. Okay?
So, what I'm about to say, keep that in mind when I say it, dear listeners. I don't think they're going to be very good this year.
No.
Kind of with you.
Me neither.
You know why? There is a pattern. There is a pattern. Many moons ago, the New York Giants decided to pay Daniel Jones and tag Saquon Barkley.
Yeah.
Daniel Jones proceeded to then look appalling for the next 2 to 3 seasons.
Yeah.
So what have the Colts done? They got a good year out of Daniel Jones, much as the Giants did, and then have paid Daniel Jones for 2 seasons.
Yes. Mm. Yes, they have.
Did you not learn? Did you not learn your lesson, okay?
I don't know what you do, though.
Like, to be fair, they were in a... Yeah, you've traded away your first-round picks to get Sauce Gardner for whatever reason. Yeah, you were kind of in a quarterback dead end. It's just like, well, we don't trust the backup. Daniel Jones was at least... To the start of the season, he was good. It was just, you know, when he started playing on a broken leg that it became a problem, which kind of understandable. You know, your leg's broken.
Yeah.
It makes it hard to, you know, stand. Don't do anything
else.
but, yeah, they couldn't draft anybody. I think they had too much money tied up in other guys to really go after. It's not like there were any sort of big name free agents to go after. And because you'd also traded away your first pick, your first round picks, it's not like you could trade for another quarterback. So it's just like Daniel Jones is the best of the bad options.
Yeah.
But it has historically not gone well.
Yeah.
When you do this.
Yeah.
Mm. They are two injuries away.
Hmm?
They're two injuries away from having to start Laquon Treadwell.
I mean, I'm genuinely happy for him. It is crazy to me that he's still in the league.
I'm not going to start him, though.
No. No, good Lord, no.
No, 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 no.
Fair play, though. Mm. I can't fault it.
Ryan Fitzpatrick sat by his bat phone waiting for it to go off, I think, at this point. Didn't they? They brought in Philip Rivers, right? I think it's my time. For three games, I will be excellent.
I don't feel great about this at all. I don't feel good about it.
No, it's not wildly encouraging.
Yeah.
They sort of gambled on something that wasn't quite... They thought they might have something close to a contender, and then it sort of turned out that no, you didn't.
Yeah.
And now you've lost all your first round picks.
You know what? I need to give a team some credit that I very rarely give credit to, or have very rarely given credit to. New Orleans Saints.
Okay, cool.
Well done. You're doing it right.
Yeah, they're no longer sort of doing the kicking the can down the road and trying to stay. They sort of gave up on that whole stuff. We're going to stay competitive and get competitive every year. They're just like, you know what? We're actually just going to suck for a couple of years.
So my midlife crisis was getting back into Warhammer.
Nice.
Okay. That was my midlife crisis because it costs as much as a Porsche. I keep telling myself I'm going to paint the things I've got first before I buy anything else. So Mickey Loomis, you have my sympathy for all the times I criticized you because I've never fucking do that. And I'm always just like, no, I'm going to put myself in financial ruin instead because I'm going to feel better if I own the box that I'm not going to open for a good, probably, let's be honest, year and a half while I'm finishing up the other stuff. So Mickey Loomis, congratulations for showing more self-control than I do with small plastic models. You should be proud of yourself. He genuinely, how they've done it now as well, and admittedly some of it is the fact that they lucked into Tyler Shuck. Like, and they didn't luck into him, I suppose. The second round pick is still an investment, but they've had a few bites of the apple and finally they've got something that might actually work.
Yeah.
But also like some savvy moves of just being like, okay, so they are $100 million in dead cap this year. Okay. But I still feel like they can put together a decent team and like the Miami Dolphins.
Yeah. Dolphins are going to be so bad.
Yeah.
But it is kind of intentional on their part. They're trying to suck.
Yeah. Well, they did that before and they got fined.
I don't trust the Dolphins organization to pick well or put together a good team. They have historically not put together a good team. What they tend to do is be like, oh, we've got all these picks. I know what we'll do. We'll trade them for one really, really good wide receiver because it'll sell jerseys.
And you know what? They did all right this year. Because they had, 16 draft picks or whatever it was? Insane amount of draft picks?
Yeah.
I feel bad because, I mean, they have changed their GM. And I do feel bad. That is a hell of a situation to walk into. Which is that, what does the roster look like? Where's the depth chart? All I see is an empty board. Why? Have we not put the magnets up yet?
No, this is the team. In an empty room. Hi, I'm Malik. Hi. I played really well for Green Bay this year, and everybody likes me now. Hi. Yeah. Where is everyone else? Are they not here yet? They're not coming. Okay.
But I get it. They are very much eating their veggies this year.
Yep. They are just like, you know what? We're just going to suck and use the picks to get better. We're going to do it that way rather than doing it the way they've done previously, which is let's shell out loads of money on big, fancy free agents and not actually build a squad and then wonder why we don't make the playoffs.
Yeah. Because next year, they have 152 million in cap space. So, have a bad year. And guys, it's going to be really bad.
It's going to be so bad.
Yeah.
Have you looked at the defensive depth chart?
Utterly they have defensive players?
Yeah.
I was unaware of the fact they had any defense. I didn't know that's how the Miami played. Even last year when they had actual people on a roster.
Their defensive line is currently Brian Brisey, Devon Godshaw, who isn't a bad player, but is just okay. And then Nathan Shepard. So, and then pass rushers, Carl Granderson, still waiting a little bit for him. Chase Young, I mean...
Yeah, we'll always be waiting for Chase Young. Chase Young was supposed to be the next coming, and we're still waiting.
He's held
like Jesus, really.
He's like a Miles Garrett athlete, but it's like, just, why aren't you better? Come on, man.
I respect it, because I think they are now very much like, we know we're going to suck for the next couple of years.
Yeah.
They traded for Tyree Wilson, a player with the slowest get-off in the NFL. It takes him 3 weeks to get two steps upfield.
Yeah. But they are heading in the right direction. Yeah. They're doing the right things.
The offense isn't too bad. They're just going to have to, if they're going to win, they're going to have to win games 31-28.
It's possible, yeah.
The offense is okay. The offenses are okay.
They picked up Travis Etienne, which leads into another trend. If we are looking at the trends of tight ends, we should probably look at the trends of running backs as well. Mm. And teams realizing they need at least two running backs now on their roster.
Yep. And ideally, they need to do different things.
Yeah. You need one to give you explosives.
Yeah,
is what you need, basically.
You need a grind it out one to get you the hard yards, and then you need a guy to get you 30 yards somehow out of nowhere.
And that was problematic because you can pick up a guy in the fifth or sixth round this year in the draft that you can just plug in and play.
Yeah.
Because there just wasn't a guy there.
Mm. The only problem is that their backs one and two are both guys that now, for whatever reason, are kind of... I'm still not convinced that Travis Etienne is really ever going to be an elite running back. And I think we're getting to the point now where he's late enough in his career that last year is probably his ceiling.
I think
Alvin Kamara is still pretty good.
Yeah.
But
Twilight though.
He's older now. He's a lot older. Yeah.
I also think Liam Cohen is very good at making running backs look good.
Mm.
But yeah, bigger wide receivers seems to be a trend this year as well. Bringing in bigger guys, bigger perimeter guys. A lot of teams have done that. It kind of makes sense.
Yes,
as long as you've got the right quarterback for that situation. But
yeah,
there's a lot of quarterbacks that can hit those guys now.
Mm. You can even look at some of the later rounds. So, for example, Cleveland did it with Denzel Boston in the second round. The Bucks did it with Ted Hurst in round four.
I like that.
Well, he's a bigger receiver. And players like Chris Brazel as well, being drafted where they were drafted. They're bigger players, although Chris Brazel is basically just long. Bigger receivers. Because I think there are some teams that are just coming to the realization that they are going to need someone on the perimeter to actually test the perimeter.
Yeah.
To expand their offense, the width of it.
And
the depth.
Yeah. Teams, you have to stretch out defenses in width and depth. Mm. Like, you can't just rely on one or the other anymore. Like, you have to stretch it as far as you can. Because you do that, then you can get the run game going. You get the run game going, then you can start throwing the ball as well.
Mm.
Like, you need to keep the box as empty as you possibly can.
Yeah.
Yes.
And whilst I would never draft a lot of these guys in my fantasy football team because they're going to catch 3-4 passes a game, it's going to look awesome when they do catch them. So,
yeah.
Any other trends or like things that the of note this year? Bad quarterbacks being drafted to teams that are might have to try and utilize them in a way they didn't necessarily feel like that would be suitable. Seems to be a thing. Looking at you, Arizona Cardinals.
Pittsburgh.
Yep. Because it's looking like Aaron Rodgers is going to go back to Pittsburgh. So he's not the same guy anymore, guys.
It's quarterback copium. That's a trend. Quarterback copium. Arizona.
If you want to know,
not everybody can be Sam Darnold, man. Not everybody can be Sam Darnold. No.
If you want to know very how much space you get,
Atlanta.
Yeah.
Atlanta.
James.
Atlanta's quarterback situation. For everyone listening, hilarious.
James has got mad and pointed at the screen in an accusatory way, like, "Oi, Atlanta, Falcons. I'm not having this."
I love the combination of Penix, who is oft injured and inconsistent, with Tagovailoa, who is oft injured and inconsistent. It's fantastic.
You're beautifully done. Trevor Siemian as well.
Oh, and that as well. Sure, why not?
So, you know when Mike Ditka said,
did you pick up
back in the day,
Tagovailoa? Why?
Back in the day.
Yeah.
Back in the day, when Mike Ditka got rid of Mike Tomczak.
Yeah.
And you just had Jim McMahon. And he said, yeah, because when you have two quarterbacks, you have none.
Yeah.
And for the most part, I've thought that actually that's horseshit. Because if you have two quarterbacks, you have two quarterbacks. It's like the Sith, you know. One to have the power and the other to crave it.
Yeah.
One to embody the power and the other to crave it.
We're looking at you, Brady. Yeah. We saw what you did to Bledsoe.
Who Bledsoe? Tom Brady.
I'm convinced that Brady destroyed Bledsoe somehow.
But this is a situation where the Falcons have two quarterbacks, but don't have one.
They do not.
They don't. So this time, Mike Ditka, you're right.
It is glorious incompetence.
What's particularly frustrating about this
is how good their offensive talent is outside of the quarterback.
It's unreal. It's so good.
It's such a good team.
Like, Zacchaeus was actually pretty good for the Bears last year. Jahan Dotson fills a role. You've got Drake London. You've got one of the best running backs in the league that could end the season as the best running back in the league.
Mm-hmm.
Kyle Pitts
is
no
slouch. He is the best running back in the league. Mm-hmm. There we are.
Yeah.
He is the best running back in the league?
Yeah.
Sorry.
I think you're probably right. Like, very and you've got Michael job. Penix, who is injured, and Tua Tagovailoa.
Who
throwing
is
him the ball.
2 minutes away from getting concussions again.
Yeah. Why
do you know
actually
what?
I see three of you. Why is there three of you?
Even more upsetting.
Yeah.
Okay. Of those three quarterbacks we mentioned,
yeah,
only one of those quarterbacks has any experience running an offense that is even vaguely similar to what Stefanski does, and that is Trevor Siemian.
I was going to say, is it Trevor Siemian?
Why he's in the building?
Why right. do we keep
Tua
in Ferraris? Why? So, like, when I watched F1, there was a driver called Juan Pablo Montoya. Okay, he is arguably my favorite F1 driver of all time. Do you want to know why? He holds nearly every track record that has ever existed, because, and the fact that you've never heard of him says that he didn't do it by consistently winning races. Because what he would do is he would come in, he would blow everyone away, and then crash in nearly every race. Why are you putting him in these fast cars? He's going to hurt someone. Tua.
I love the idea of Trevor Siemian trying to talk to Tua and trying to teach him the system. And Tua's just like, brain bad.
I don't even think he's stupid. It's just
No, he's had 20 concussions. It's not that he's stupid. Yeah. He's just got brain damage.
Yeah, Tua, what we do is in this offense, we take the ball, turn our back to the defense, and pretend to hand it off. And then we turn around and look for the guy that's open.
Yeah.
He's going to get killed.
Turn his back.
Oh, look, he's tucked and run already. Oh, look, he's dived face first. Oh, look, Michael Penix is coming in.
Just... with his one functioning knee. Wait, actually, no, it's both knees. Both, he has blown out both knees more than once already, and he's not even
wildly encouraging.
The Falcons so, really wake me up.
Just you wankers, you've utterly wasted some brilliant talent. You absolute ass mates.
It's not like the offensive line's that bad either. The offensive line's pretty good as well.
But they're just but the offensive line is aging.
Yeah.
It's getting older.
Yes, it is, yeah.
So that window is closing.
Yep. And they have no quarterback. Are the Falcons your new Jags, James?
The Falcons were the Jags before the Jags, but the Jags just jagged more frequently than the Falcons did, and I was very tired of the Falcons, and the novelty of the Jags being the new Falcons was more entertaining.
Okay.
The Falcons were the team that I really learned to hate last year. Because they were so annoying. Because they'd win the odd game. It's like, how the fuck have you done that?
Yep.
Bijan.
I mean, that was pretty much it. Bijan and Drake London makes like an outstanding catch. Just cool. Yeah, that was one. What?
It felt like a ton of games went down to the wire last year. And it felt like 90% of them were the Atlanta Falcons losing most of the time. Unless it was up against like a top three team, in which case they were then beating them.
They would then win somehow. And you're like, what? Yeah. What are you doing? Why are you the trend? Way that you are?
Yeah, go on then.
Trend, which is called, we're quite a good team, but fuck the offensive line.
Yeah.
Is that Cincinnati? And
this particular...
Or is it Houston?
It's Cincinnati. It's Houston have tried.
Houston have done all right.
It's specifically aimed at two teams. The 49ers and the Jags. Open up our lads. Look at their offensive line depth chart. The Jags. Do it.
Look at the Niners.
Remove Trent Williams. What have you got?
Actually, in general. Which is not going to be possible. The Niners faithful! But,
thank you for doing the voice. Always appreciated.
Letters from the faithful.
I can't believe you criticised our GM.
Yes, well, you know, there's reasons for that.
Yeah.
Okay, sorry.
He's obsessed with old players who are going to get injured constantly. That's why we criticise him.
Didn't help when Kyle Shanahan went on and said that he doesn't watch a player until he's seen their highlight reel. That's not. It's okay. I'm looking at the Jags. I'm moving swiftly on.
Yeah, let's move on.
Open up our lads and look at the offensive line.
It's not good.
It's not great, is it? Left tackle is Cole Van Lanen. Your left guard is Ezra Cleveland. Robert Haynes is your center. Patrick McCurry is your right guard, and Anton Harrison is your right tackle.
Yes.
Yeesh.
I quite like the centre right guard combination.
That's two people.
Yes.
And you quite like them.
Yeah, I don't love it.
You're not going. That's Ryan Kelly and Quentin Nelson, though, are you?
Yeah.
No. You're going. That's Robert Haynes and Ezra Cleveland.
I am different. Rapidly running out sympathy for teams that can't get their offensive line together.
They use Cincinnati.
I guarantee you that Emmanuel Prignon will play.
Yeah, I'll guarantee. Of course, yeah. He owns a Jags jersey. Of course, he'll play. I think it is hard to find offensive linemen. I don't think it's impossible to find offensive linemen. I think you can look at teams that have done pretty well over the last few years. I'm looking in your direction, Seattle, and say, we found offensive linemen.
We did.
By hook or by crook, we found offensive linemen.
We went and drafted a bunch of them. If we just keep drafting them, eventually some of them will be good.
I'm and looking
got,
at the Rams
then we got
as well.
Gray Zabel, and we're like...
Yeah. Like...
It was a beautiful moment.
I just don't think it's as hard... I mean, it's hard to find offensive linemen. I'm looking at my own team, the Chicago Bears, who have consistently, last year, put together a center of an offensive line, more on centers in a minute, like a middle chunk of the offensive line, had Drew Dolman retire and then immediately replaced him with Garrett Bradbury because it's like, oh shit, no, we need all of those. Like, we actually need to make this a priority above other things.
Yeah.
But we want Max Crosby. Yeah, no, Max Crosby would be nice, but we also need to keep Caleb Williams upright. Because he's the guy that scores points. So, like, we would like him upright where possible. I don't think it's impossible to put together an offensive line. I think it's difficult.
See, this is something that's been bugging me all off-season. Mm. Because people have been going on about how well that Cincinnati have done with their off-season. And I'm like, yes, I understand that their defense was a bit shit last year. It was a lot of shit, okay? It was a lot of shit.
Yeah.
But Cincinnati's biggest problem is not their defense. Cincinnati's biggest problem is that they can't keep Joe Burrow healthy because their offensive line has been consistently a fucking tire fire. Mm. It has been just let anybody waltz through constantly, every fucking time. And as far as I'm aware, they have done nothing to address that. They have done nothing to address their offensive line.
I guarantee
we're going to get to this point. So we're going to get to like weeks 5 or 6 and we're like, oh shit, Joe Burrow's injured again. This is so sad. Why does this keep happening? All these so-called NFL experts, oh, I don't get it. I think it's Joe Burrow or blah, blah, blah. No, it's because that offensive line is a fucking joke. The only reason you got to that Super Bowl is because you have Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase. And T. Higgins. It's the only reason you got there. That offense, they got sacked like 7 times in one of the games on the way to that Super Bowl. And they lost the game because he got sacked. They lost the Super Bowl because he got sacked. But I mean, I know it was Aaron Donald. He gets through every offensive line. I get that. But you can still have an offensive line.
I'm pretty certain he was flexing his muscles as he was working his way through their offensive line a lot of the time, to be honest with you. We are 4 months on from January, okay? How the fuck did Zach Taylor keep his job?
I have no fucking clue. No clue.
I'm still in shock over that one.
Nobody knows.
How did he do that? And then they go, oh, that was a close one, Zach. Everyone else in the division got fired. Okay? So we should probably feel pretty lucky that we managed to keep our job. We should probably probably revamp this offensive line this time because otherwise Joe Burrow, who is threatening to retire at least 3-4 times a season, might actually fucking do it.
It's the Andrew Luck problem.
Yeah.
You have a generational talent at quarterback. But you're not treating him like that, are you?
I think Joe Burrow gives a shit. He was at the Met Gala last week.
That's true.
He'll just fucking do shit like that for the rest of his life.
He's a very handsome man. He's just going to have sex with supermodels his entire life. But
yeah.
I feel so bad for him. But I like watching him play football.
Yeah.
Okay? I love watching Joe Burrow when he's on his game. And it would be so much better if there was an offensive line. Because then I could watch him light up the Browns for 50, 60 points and I'd feel happy and joyous inside.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because fuck the Browns.
It doesn't even need to be like 3 seconds. It just needs to be 2. Because he's more capable of shredding you in 2.
Absolutely. It doesn't need to be
immediate. Sure.
It doesn't need to be like the Eagles offensive line has been previously, where it's like the best offensive line in the league. He doesn't need that level. He just needs something half decent.
He's got the receiver that's the best at selling a route in the NFL as well. No one like Ja'Marr Chase can get a defensive back off him as quickly as he can.
Yep.
Like, you can legitimately probably just stare
the best,
down
the best
Chase.
Back shoulder receiver in the NFL as well.
100%. Yeah. Like, you could probably just stare down Chase and get the ball to him. Just give him a little bit of time.
Yeah. But, yeah, it's like Matthew Stafford staring down Megatron.
He's
staring down Megatron.
I was going to say that exact comparison.
It doesn't matter. You can't stop Megatron. Yeah.
But it's not even that, because he can stare down two people, because T. Higgins is what I was talking about, is the best back shoulder receiver in the NFL by a mile. If you throw a back shoulder fade to T. Higgins, it's automatic. It's like, let's get those really long arms and big hands up there and just snatch it above small defensive back.
Yeah.
Zach, here's my hands. Should be easy. Okay. It should be easy.
Oh God!
No, defense looks great though.
Yeah. It's going to be better than it was. But that's about all I can
say. It's going to be better, definitely. But you know when something goes wrong?
Yeah.
And you focus on the one thing that went most catastrophically wrong in your life, and you overcorrect at the expense of every other problem in your life.
Yep.
Bengals did that.
100%.
Yes. They fixated on it. They had one of the worst run defenses in the NFL. They went and got Jonathan Allen.
Yeah.
Dexter Lawrence. Very good move, and I do like it. And they went and got Boye Mafe, who's one of the two run defending edge players in the NFL.
Yeah.
The problem with Boye Mafe is 6 or 7 sacks.
Yeah.
The other guy that they're going to have as an edge is Miles Murphy.
Yeah.
6 or 7 sacks. A bit more limited than we were hoping from a first round pick. And they drafted Cassius Howell. Cassius Howell, I didn't like.
That's a trend with their high-end draft picks.
But most of their high-end draft picks are absolute physical freaks with upside.
Yeah.
Okay. Cassius Howell has upside, but not in the way that you would want an edge rusher to have upside. Mm-hmm. He's explosive. He's pound for pound very strong, but he is only 240 pounds. He's barely 6'3". And he has the 0th percentile arm length for edge rusher. He's not an amazing defender.
T-Rex.
But he's also, it's a big bet. You're betting on him being like
tenter hooks here, James.
A sort of Lamborghini upgrade of Nolan Smith.
Okay. Yeah, sorry, no, you cut out for a bit. Yeah. It's all right though, because they've got physical freak Shamar Stewart on the team.
Did he do anything last year? I don't remember him doing anything last year. He did nothing last year.
Yeah, and I swore blind that this year that they were going to, before they traded for Dexter Lawrence, I swore blind that they were off Caleb Banks because he's 6'6", 300 pounds and runs 4.6. But thankfully they didn't. And he went to Minnesota instead. Well done. Well done, Brian. That's the right place for him.
Brian Flores, who held the draft room hostage.
Draft him.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I don't hate what Minnesota did in the draft, by the way. I want to stress that. Anything else we want to talk about? One thing I want to mention is centers got paid this year.
Yes.
Yep.
Every team went, we probably want a decent center. Whereas in previous years, maybe last year was an exception, but years before then, the center was the most plug-and-playable position on the offensive line. That's not the case anymore.
No.
And it was made worse because the probably the best center in the NFL was a free agent. And so 31 teams thought, we could have that.
Yeah. And they massively upped value.
and 30 teams didn't, were like, think about how much we wanted that.
Yeah.
And they were like, what if we could get something that was 60% of that?
Yeah.
Or 70% of that? Yeah. Because Tyler Linderbaum is a very unique center.
Yeah.
Unique. And he is going to be the best thing for Fernando Mendoza.
I think that's an underrated thing, and people are getting wise to it, which is the get a decent center with your rookie quarterback. Caleb wasn't a rookie last year, but having Drew Dolman there made the world of difference.
Yes.
And there's a good chance, apparently there's a chance we might trade Garrett Bradbury before the season starts, because they're okay with Logan Jones being a starter, which is interesting. But see if that actually happens. But the fact is, the Bears overspent on center this year because they didn't want to be without a decent starting center. And I don't think they're alone in that one. The Raiders obviously did. There are other teams that have overspent and over-evaluated center because of what they feel it brings to their team, and more specifically, what they feel it brings to their starting quarterback. So, yeah. Anything else we want to add, or are we done?
The one other final trend that I want to talk about, we admit we got the pick wrong.
Yeah.
And we are going to start with the Jags.
Yeah, I think you have to be securing your job to be able to do it. Yes.
But there are teams that have some real soul searching to do with the picks they've made and how they've handled them.
Yeah.
Not so much that they got the pick wrong, but they got the pick and situation wrong.
Yeah.
So this award should hands down every year go to the Bengals.
Yeah.
Amarius Mims, it's taking a while.
Yeah.
Jamar Stewart, it's taking a while.
Which everyone knew those two, by the way, as well. That's exactly what everyone said about
those
two. Yeah,
but there was never the infrastructure for it to be anyway.
Yeah.
Jacksonville, Travis Hunter.
Yeah.
They're going to make the same mistake, because James Gladstone this week said, now, initially, the rumors were that he was going to primarily play as a corner and there would be an offensive package for him.
Yeah.
Like Champ Bailey in Denver.
Yeah.
But now Gladstone said, actually, no, he's going to be playing both ways.
I wonder if there's some smoke and mirrors in that. Because I think...
Acceptable. It's not acceptable.
No. I think that, like, when you look at the Jags receiving core, it's actually surprisingly good even before you put Travis Hunter in there.
He's not even a starter.
Yeah. Yeah, I think they can roll with Brian Thomas, Jacoby Myers, and Parker Washington and feel pretty good about that. I think at corner, they really do need him.
Yeah.
And we argued in general that he was a better corner than a receiver anyway.
Yeah. Even before he was drafted.
Yeah.
He's a better corner.
I wonder if there's some smoke and mirrors there. I wonder if there's an element of, let's tell people that we're going to be using him both ways, but in actual fact, he's going to be a cornerback. But
I suppose.
I think offense, he doesn't move the needle much. I think on defense, he moves the needle a ton.
I think that's definitely where he has the more impact for them. 100%. Absolutely.
Yeah. We'll see what happens then, I suppose.
I mean, especially after they added Jacoby Myers partway through the season, it just like completely opened up their offense.
And if you want to get more confusing, they've got an undrafted free agent on their team called at defensive end called Brian Thomas Jr. So that adds some confusion to the situation.
Wait, no.
Yeah.
Oh no, it's going to be the Josh Allen thing again.
Yeah, there's another team that's done that as well, isn't there, this year, that picked up someone that's got a similar name. I can't remember what it is.
Mm-hmm.
It's like the other Adrian Peterson that was in the league for a while. So, yeah.
The safety.
Yeah.
Adrian Peterson, yeah. He was an okay player.
Yeah. Just not, you know.
Yeah, it's not Adrian Peterson.
No.
Yeah.
I'm sure there's some other stuff. I'm sure we've missed some. We might revisit this before the season starts, to be honest with you. See what's changed through training camp from what we're hearing. Mm. What I am hearing so far is that in terms of offense, teams are trying to mimic what Ben Johnson does and what Sean McVay does. And I think that's pretty smart.
Mm.
But we'll see how it works. But yeah.
Teams would like to copy the two most offensive, like psychotic offensive guys in the league. The two like biggest sickos when it comes to offense. Weird that you would want to copy the guys who are really, really good at something. I find that odd. Yeah,
I know. It is a bit like water is wet, isn't it?
A tad, yes.
It's just weird that I'm saying that about the guy who runs the Bears. Fucking can't get my head around it. It is bonkers to me. I keep thinking, strange. Ben Johnson, yes, the genius from the Lions. No, he's not. He did quite a good job with the Chicago Bears last year. Yeah, still crazy to me, but I'm happy about it. So, and his tree has already sprouted with Declan Doyle now at the Ravens. So, but yeah. Right, I think that's going to be it then. Next week, not sure what we'll do. We'll have some fun, though. You know, we'll talk about something. If you want to contact us, hit us up on Twitter. We're still there at the moment, hanging in there. It's just at Gridiron Gents. And then on Blue Sky at gridirongents.bsky.social. Use both of them, though, to come join our Discord, which is where we have the most fun and where we have the most conversations and where we talk about all kinds of things. That's the best thing to do, without question. We are planning on expanding our social media catalogue soon. Someone is doing something very special right now, and I'm looking forward to seeing what the results are, especially considering what the results were from the poll itself, I think. So that could be fun. Phil, thank you very, very much.
Thank you.
James, thank you very, very much.
You're welcome.
And we'll be back very, very soon. Thank you very much, and goodbye.